It's Richard Herring's objective, and please welcome Richard Herring.
Hello, and welcome to Richard Herring's Objective, a new series in which I, the objectionable Richard Herring, have the objective to be objective about objects that most people object to. Why do certain accursed articles have associations in our minds that leave them stigmatised and ostracised? We see a hoodie, we think hoodlum. We see a St George's flag, we think racist thug. We see someone going on and on about how brilliant their iPad is, and we think, what a gullible onanist with more money than sense who deserves to be punched very hard in their smug face. I'm not saying all prejudgment is definitely wrong. But I want to try and work out how an inanimate object can be morally questionable and whether it's possible to change the meaning of a symbol once it's been so demonised. I'm going to try and take an item that is battered and beyond repair and make it new again, like a modern-day bagpuss, without the Rohypnol-like effect on my nearest and dearest. I'm confident that in half an hour on Radio 4, I can completely reclaim the unclaimable. I don't know the meaning of the word hubris, which is a shame, because straight after this, I'm taking part in a define the meaning of the word hubris competition. I'm not worried. I think I'm definitely going to win anyway. So. And will you please welcome a woman who will be assisting me throughout the series. You'll recognise her from off of the Heat advert, not the one that's on now, the one from years ago. It's TV's Emma Kennedy!
Hello.
So what's the first object I will be objective about?
Vor uns liegt Deutschland, in uns marschiert Deutschland und hinter uns kommt Deutschland.
The Hitler Moustache.
The idea for this series came out of a stand-up show I did last year in which I grew a Hitler moustache, or as it should be called, a toothbrush moustache, in an attempt to reclaim it for comedy. After all, Charlie Chaplin had it first, then Hitler came along. Kind of ruined it for everyone. It was probably the worst thing he ever did. Because this was once quite a popular moustache, but now the only place you'll see it in the 21st century is carved into the pubic hair of a naughty lady. Robert Mugabe's got a little one as well. I think it's fair to say the only place you'll see this moustache is on a lady's excuse me. That joke has been rewritten by the Radio 4 censors. So, why has this nasal welcome mat? That's all it is. Why has it taken the blame for Hitler's crimes? Because I don't think it was the moustache that was responsible. Isn't it Hitler's final victory that he still possesses this style of face fungus 65 years after his death? And why do we only have a problem with the moustache? You can still copy Hitler's hairstyle or wear a brown shirt. People aren't shocked if you have a dog. I mean, Hitler had a dog. Go on, boy, fetch.
Excuse me? Is that your dog?
Yeah, he's called Simon. Do you want to stroke him?
No. God, no. How could you?
What?
How could you own a dog?
Sorry, what?
Yeah, I don't believe you. Acting like you don't even know what you've done.
He's my pet.
Hitler had a dog!
So what?
But so what? Hitler was the most evil man in history. Look at all the terrible things he did whilst owning a dog. And then you come along blithely owning a dog as well. I don't think it's unreasonable to conclude that by owning a dog, just like Hitler did, you're condoning all the terrible things he did and saying you think he was right.
I just thought it'd be fun to own a dog.
Yeah, well, you're either very evil or very naive. Having something that Hitler had makes you the same as Hitler.
No, you're right. Sorry, Simon, I can't look after you anymore. You're on your own. No, go away. Fend for yourself. I don't want to look evil.
Well done.
I suppose I should also probably take off this SS uniform as well.
No, that's just harmless fun. Just the kind of hilarious prank Prince Harry would pull.
I told you, go away, Simon. A woman there feeling sorry for a fictional dog. A sound effect. I mean, you know, I wasn't trying to offend anyone, but, you know, I met a lot of resistance very early on when I first had this moustache. Even before I'd grown it, my Jewish friend Dan said, you're right, the moustache shouldn't have the associations that it has, but the thing is, it does have those associations. You can't change it, and it's offensive to try. Don't know what he's got against Hitler, but it's just fascinating to me that this moustache is on the face of arguably the funniest man of the 20th century and arguably the most evil man of the 20th century, the same moustache. I'm not talking about Blakey from On the Buses and Mr. Bronson from Grange Hill. Chaplin and Hitler both had this moustache. How can it be funny on one face and evil on another? Is this the point where comedy and evil meet? Is it the subtle knife between those two universes? Might I fall either way with this on my face? What if Hitler and Chaplin had ever kissed? Would the universe have been destroyed by that dichotomy, or would they have just stuck together like Velcro? I think comedy and evil are very similar, and Chaplin and Hitler, they had a lot of similarities in their life. They were born 4 days apart. Chaplin is exactly 4 days older than Hitler. Chaplin put on the moustache, became the tramp. Hitler was homeless before he grew the moustache, but it was the moustache for both of them was the turning point in their careers. They both had mental illness in their families. They were terrified of being passed down to them. They both developed quite an amusing walk. when talkies came in, that wrecked Chaplin's career, but it made Hitler's career. I think it's fair to say that after World War II, both their fan bases pretty much dropped off. But recent research suggests that Hitler originally shaved down to the moustache during the First World War so that his gas mask would fit. But to find out about the origins of Hitler's moustache, I talked to German moustache expert, and he really is. He's not. This isn't a character. Heinrich Dubel.
At the end of the war, Hitler had the beard already. It wasn't very popular even among his early supporters. Like, in the beginning, the Nazi Party was supported by some Munich men of wealth and taste. Some of them even told Hitler that this beard looks disgusting.
Yeah.
But already then, Hitler was rather self-confident. He said, if this beard is not yet fashionable, it will be so later, just because it is me who is wearing it.
Yeah.
That's a direct quote.
He was arrogant, wasn't he, Hitler?
Come again?
He was arrogant, Hitler. He was quite an arrogant
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
If this beard is not yet fashionable, it will be so later just because it is me who is wearing it. That's pretty, is confident, at least. But was he right? Did the moustache become popular?
Wildly popular in Germany. It becomes like an ideological commitment.
Yeah.
Hitler was the Führer. They really loved him. They wanted to be close to him. Even during the Third Reich, there were people wearing the beard who were not Nazis. Mm. And one of them was, for example, the father of Anne Frank.
Oh, Otto really? Frank,
yes.
So it's amazing. Also, Oscar Deutsch, the Jewish man who created the Odeon cinema chain, is another Jew who had that same moustache. So it's, you know, it's judging people on that moustache isn't necessarily... Maybe it makes you a fascist if you're judging them by that. But wasn't Hitler worried that he would remind people of Chaplin? They would think he was a clown. Heinrich doesn't think so.
He was very... he looked at the mirror a lot.
Right,
you know,
yeah. Vain, narcissistic.
Vain, exact, narcissistic. Yeah. He felt that his look is... a good look, you know, his weird hair thing.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, if you look at these pictures from the rallies and stuff, he's constantly, like girls do, right? They are always with the hand in the hair as if they are never sure if it's good enough.
Yeah.
And he does this all the time.
Yeah.
With his hair, and then he looks and stuff. So it's a very kind of feminine side to it.
So Heinrich's calling Hitler a girl there. I wonder if he'd done that 70 years ago in Germany. I don't know. But so after the war, how quickly did the moustache disappear?
Immediately after the war was over, I think it was an unwise thing to wear. Most of the German men who were wearing it before, they got rid of it.
Sure.
Hitler died, and he not only died, he kind of vanished. But what he left was the beard, like the smile of the Cheshire Cat, you know, from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
The cat vanishes, the smile stays.
So if I was going to reclaim this moustache, I was clearly going to have to grow one myself. And in fact, I've had one for the best part of the last 18 months, a real one. This is it. It's grown out of my face now. That is not stuck on. That is real. So it's 24/7. It's a big commitment to make what is essentially quite a glib point. But how would people react in real life to this? Would they see me with this moustache and assume I was a fascist? And if so, isn't that fascistic of them to judge me by my appearance? Maybe I'm emulating Otto Frank, Anne Frank's father. Yeah. Who's the fascist now? Would they see me with this moustache and assume I was a paedophile? Because it's quite a paedophile-y moustache when you look at it. But, you know, if I was a paedophile, the last thing I'm going to do is grow a Hitler moustache. To draw attention to myself. I don't think it works as a double bluff. I don't think people are going to go, well, he's got a Hitler moustache, he can't be a paedophile, because a paedophile wouldn't grow one of those for fear of looking like a paedophile. Let's let him babysit our kids. I think people would err on the side of caution with that. What would happen to me? Would I be verbally assaulted? Would I be physically attacked? I didn't want to try and offend anyone, but I guess I was expecting some kind of reaction. I'd come up with some comebacks in advance. If someone had me down on the floor kicking me in the head, I was going to say, oh, ow, Josh, do you not like the films of Charlie Chaplin? Ow, I mean, I know they're slightly dated, but ow, this seems like an extreme critique. And if an old fella came up to me and said,
I didn't fight in World War II, so you could walk around with a Hitler moustache.
I was going to say, well, yes, you did. Actually, that's exactly why you did fight in World War II. Thank you. Thank you for giving me that freedom. It was quite a strange feeling shaving down to this verboten face furniture for the first time. I want you to know, ladies, though, you might be surprised to hear this. I'm not the only man in this room who has sported the toothbrush moustache. In fact, I would go as far as saying that every single man in this room who is capable of growing a beard and has at any point had to shave it off, he won't have told you about this, but what every single man does, in the privacy of his own bathroom, he'll try out a few different styles. I took my producer behind the closed doors of a male bathroom to reveal men's secret shame.
At the moment, I've got a kind of full beard. I've just been doing a show about Jesus, and so it's kind of quite a Jesus-y beard, and now I'm going to go down from Jesus to Hitler, the reverse Pope Benedict. But what all men do when it comes to shaving off the beard. They won't tell you about this, ladies, but they'll try out a few different styles in the privacy of their own bathroom. So what we'll do, basically, just see how you look with a few different things. So you might take off a bit and go down to sort of that sort of Yorkshire Ripper beard. It doesn't mean you want to hammer women over the head. It's just seeing how it would look. You might go to a kind of, like I'm doing, kind of Mexican bandit moustache now, going down to that. You could do the Beppe from EastEnders. That's probably more offensive than the Hitler moustache, to be honest. That is just a beard gone. At the moment now, I'm just down to more or less a moustache. So, I mean, there, we're already there. I'll wet shave it down to make it sharper, but that is... I know it's only going to be for today, so it's not too bad, but... you know, it's so wrong. So most men would get to this stage and then they do a little C-cut. Most men would get to this stage, they've got this moustache, and they'll do a little C-cut at themselves in the mirror and then laugh about how funny they've just been quickly shave off before anyone sees. But I'm going to actually go out into the BBC gym where some men just saw me come into a bathroom with a lady and I'm going to come out with a Hitler moustache. So. Looks good. I like it. I've missed it.
So, who's the person you should really be worrying about? The man proudly wearing the toothbrush moustache out in public, or the man surreptitiously doing it in clandestine circumstances, laughing, getting off on it, thinking he's funny? I know who I'm more scared of. You're sitting right next to him. So, you'd imagine that in all those months of wearing such an inflammatory tash, I'd have had quite a fair bit of flack. But amazingly, in all that time, practically no one even remarked on it. Most people didn't even seem to notice. I don't know, my best guess, and I don't know what people were thinking because they didn't say, but my best guess is that people were looking at me and just they thought I was a bit of a dick and didn't want to rise to it. To be fair, that was exactly how I felt. I just felt stupid with this moustache. I felt like a sixth former trying to make this facile point. You know, there's no reason this moustache should be offensive, so I don't see why I shouldn't wear it around in the street. And if you've got a problem with it, that's your issue, not mine. It's just some hair. Hair can't be offensive. It's only hair. How can hair? I'm trying to emulate Otto Frank, Anne Frank's father, actually. So how do you feel now? Yes, that's right. Just pathetic. So, but now, because I'm here on Radio 4, I have the might and the expenses of Radio 4 behind me. So this morning, with my newly cut moustache, I went out with my producer, following at a short distance, and she asked people what they'd thought of me. I haven't heard this, so let's see what people said.
We thought it was a stick on
moustache. A stick on moustache.
We couldn't tell if he had a toilet brush under his nose or if he was doing an Hitler impression. It tickled too much. He'd have to shave it off if he wanted to take me out for a drink. And he needs to do his shoelaces up.
You noticed as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw it.
Right.
Yeah.
Was halfway there to being Hitler.
It was, yeah, it was close. It was something, yeah, a bit more child snatcher than Hitler, I think. Pretty platted, perhaps. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, you obviously have a big pair of balls to go to the West End with a task like that.
No, I think he looks a bit of an idiot.
Hitler? Yeah, associated with Hitler.
It's false. Well, it doesn't match his hair. It's supposed to match his hair. Comes it's darker than what his hair is.
I've never seen anything like that before, I guess. Yeah.
It's just kind of embarrassing for the person, I mean.
I think it's weird. I know it's just like a stereotype or something, but you don't want to look like Hitler because then you would think that you want to resemble him or you have the same ideas or...
Overall, I find it entertaining. It's funny. It's just like it brightens your day when you walk and you see someone like that. It's like, it's a good day.
Is he Italian? You sure? Because most Italians grow moustaches so they can look like their mums.
It's like it was Hitler or someone. Someone else. So no one thought I was Charlie Chaplin there. Child molester, idiot, everything else I was right about. Hardly anyone really did say anything to my face. No one challenged me about it. The worst thing that happened when I had it the first time was that I was walking home quite late at night. There was a white van man and he saw me coming up and he looked at me and I thought he was joking with him, but he wasn't. He went, "Fair play, mate, fair play. You're a man after my own heart." That's the worst reaction. I'd rather someone had hit me than someone thought, "Yeah, if only I had the balls to say what I really felt and wish that Hitler was right." But what made it worse for me, actually, at the time was that most people weren't saying anything. I felt like I was being silently judged because of my appearance, that I could be physically attacked at any moment because of the way I looked. Even with my friends, the ones who met me and didn't know what I was doing, they didn't say anything either. Hey, Emma.
Oh, hello, Richard.
You're looking great.
Yeah, you're looking, you're all right.
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you? Oh, anyway, something really funny happened to
me. Oh, look, there's Stew. Bye.
Okay. And it was making me really unhappy. The first week I had it, I found I was staying in a lot more than I usually did just to avoid the confrontation, even though nothing was happening. I started pulling bits of it out, like I was a kind of caged animal. It was sort of driving me crazy. I was thinking, how long am I going to have this moustache? And it was making me very unhappy. I mean, I've got a girlfriend. Every night she had to kiss Hitler, go to bed with Hitler. I mean, luckily she's a gigantic pervert, so it worked out quite well. She dresses up as Eva Braun. We went down in the cellar. Probably saved our relationship, if I'm honest, but... But in the first week of the experiment, it was going to be my parents' golden wedding anniversary. They're going to have a big party. So I had to ask myself, am I going to go to my mum and dad's 50th wedding anniversary with a Hitler moustache? Because if I do, it'd be a funny story, won't it, to tell on Radio 4. But it'll ruin it for them. My mum would have to introduce me to everyone, saying,
"Yes, yes, this is our youngest son, Richard, yes. I suppose he does resemble Hitler now you come to mention it, but I don't think that makes our whole marriage an affront against God and nature, something that would be better if it had never happened."
You have to think, if I kept the moustache in every photo at that occasion, I'd be standing there with this moustache, looking out proudly, the big group photo of the entire family. That's the one photo of me that will survive. That'll be passed down the generations. In 200 years' time, there'll be no other image of me except that. Was it worth besmirching my very reputation for the sake of this stupid experiment, this ridiculous comedy? Something my friend Dan had been right. Of course it was an offensive thing to do. So after the first week of hell, I shaved it off and so I could go to my parents' golden wedding, and I was glad to see it go. This had been like a millstone around my philtrum, this thing, isn't it? Then I thought to myself, what if Hitler had just shaved off his moustache after 1 week? What if people are laughing at me and I feel self-conscious? He wouldn't have gone on to have the amazing successes that he had. I thought about Hitler looking down at me from heaven, and he was saying... saying, "Come on, Rich, it's not yet the fashion, but it will be so later, and just because it was you who was wearing it." But I thought, what about Chaplin? I'd promised to reclaim this for him. Was I just going to give up at the first hurdle just because people were laughing at me? I decided to give it another go. It takes a few weeks to grow out the beard, then I shaved down to the moustache. The day I'd chosen to shave down to the moustache for the second time, by coincidence, happened to be the day after the results were announced at the 2009 European elections. In which, you might recall, the British National Party won 2 seats. So I had to think, am I going to go out on the streets today with this moustache? Because if I do, there's really only one way that's going to be interpreted. You know, people aren't going to say,
"Oh, I expect that's a cheeky comedian trying to reclaim the toothbrush moustache for comedy. Ha-ha! What a card!"
They're going to think,
"There's a bigot celebrating this awful result. What a total..."
And I wasn't in a celebratory mood. I was furious about this happening. The British National Party winning seats. I was embarrassed that the BNP would be representing our country in Europe. Who here wanted that? Anyone? Cheer if you wanted the BNP to win. Anyone? No, no one. But I bet at least 50% of you didn't vote in those European elections. And if you didn't vote, this is entirely your fault. Because it was incredibly low turnout of the election. It was less than 40%. The BNP got the same number of votes as they got the previous European election. But because so few people voted, that was enough to get them 2 seats. If just 5,000 people out of the 20 million or so who didn't vote had gone out and voted that day for anyone other than the BNP, they wouldn't have got those seats. So if you didn't vote, this is your fault. You should be feeling ashamed of yourself. I hope you're squirming in your seats and you at home. You might say, well, surely it's the people people who actually voted for the BNP are a little bit more culpable than I am. No, they're not. You're more culpable than them because you're intelligent, you're listening to Radio 4, you should know better. Now, you might think, oh, it's a bit funny, isn't it? It's only Europe, it's not a proper election. It's like when Boris Johnson became mayor of London for having funny hair. Obviously, we'll vote in the general election. It's kind of worse it's in Europe. We're sending, you know, these right-wing people to represent us in Europe after all we've been through with them. It's like sending in an embarrassing exchange student. I heard some guys about this time from the Spanish Civil War on the radio. I don't know if you know what happened in Spain in 1936, but fascists overthrew a democratic election. People were so upset about that, they went from all over Europe to fight in a war. They weren't Spanish. They just were so affronted. They hated fascism enough to go and fight in a war and be killed to fight against it. Now all you're being asked to do to fight right-wing politics is to go down to your local primary school and put an X on a piece of paper. You can't be bothered. I mean, it is a lot to ask, isn't it? You have to walk probably like 300 metres to the school. And when you get, you have to draw a line on a piece of paper. And go, what is that? What, that's not it? You want me to draw another line? I'm getting writer's cramp here. How much do you... I can understand why you wouldn't be bothered to do that. It is a lot. You know, apathy got to see the people you're allowed in. I've got their election leaflet here. This is the BNP election leaflet. And they're using very similar techniques to Hitler. I'm not saying that they're exactly the same as Hitler at the BNP. Obviously not. But they're using very similar techniques. Hitler would take symbols and change their meaning. He took the swastika. He changed that from a symbol of peace to a symbol of war. At the top of the BNP leaflet, they would put a picture of a Spitfire there. OK, so the BNP are implying that they're the same. They represent the people who fought for us in World War II. The BNP have accidentally selected there a picture of a Polish Spitfire. It's true. These people can't even be, let's call it, patriotic properly. So I decided I wasn't going to not have this moustache because the BNP had won seats any more than I wasn't going to have it because Hitler had had it. In a way, it made me more determined. It made it more than just this juvenile stunt. The second time I had this moustache, I didn't feel as stupid. I didn't feel as nervous. I realised the worst thing that was happening to me was that people were laughing at me. I went into a coffee shop early one morning. The guy was serving someone else. He called his mate in from the kitchen. She hadn't seen me come in. She got to the counter, looked up for the first time, saw me, and just laughed openly in my face. And then perhaps realising that wasn't proper professional etiquette, then said...
Oh, sorry, I just saw a thing.
But I suddenly thought, why was I getting upset that people were laughing at me? Wasn't that why I was doing this in the first place, to reclaim the moustache for comedy? It was good that people were laughing. That's another great thing about this country. We laugh at that kind of pomposity, that kind of arrogance. That's why I think fascism hopefully can't flourish in this country, because we wouldn't take it seriously. If you laugh at fascism, you destroy it. If Hitler had come to this country in the 1920s with this moustache and addressed the British working people, believe me, there'd have been someone at the back shouting,
Oi, Charlie, when are you going to eat your shoes, you blinking nincompoop?
Everyone would have laughed. It would have destroyed him. But in Germany, they were like...
I noticed that the speaker has the exact same moustache as the comedic film actor Charlie Chaplin. But I see nothing intrinsically amusing about that.
Bit racist against the Germans, that bit, wasn't it? It's all right. It's all right. They're not a race, so it's fine. They wanted to be, but they're not. So, laugh away. But if you laugh at extremism, you go a long way to stopping. That's something that Charlie Chaplin realised. I hadn't been a massive fan of Charlie Chaplin before I grew this moustache. I thought he was this sentimental slapstick star. That's not my kind of thing. But I watched some of his films. And in 1938, he did a film called The Great Dictators, I'm sure many of you are aware, in which he used the similarity of his moustache to Hitler's to satirise the fascist dictator. Everyone told him he was crazy to attempt this. They were trying to appease Hitler in America at the time. They thought he'd never work again. The studios would stop him working. But he was upset. I think Chaplin was partially upset because he felt that Hitler had stolen his moustache. Genuinely, he called him a second-rate impersonator, but mainly he saw what was going on in Germany with the Jews. He only knew the half of it, but he didn't think it was right that human beings were treating other human beings in that way, so he wanted to do this political film, even though that wasn't his usual thing. And it's kind of an amazing leap for him to have made, and you should watch it. It's an amazing film. It's slightly dated in places, but it's still funny. There's some beautiful stuff in. There's this amazing finale. At the end of the film, Charlie Chaplin, pretty much as himself, addresses the camera. Remember, the tramp has never even spoken on film before The Great Dictator. He does this 5-minute speech with no jokes in it, basically about why we should support democracy, why we should oppose tyranny, why all human beings are the same. It's kind of weird, but it's amazing. It's odd to see a comedian being serious for that length of time, not feeling the need to break it with a joke. It's also powerful, kind of beautiful. Maybe when politicians are that ridiculous, the comedians have to become serious. I don't know, but it's a really powerful end to the film, and it made a difference. It came out in 1940. It was one of the things that actually got America involved in the war. So it was satire that actually made a political difference. And in that film, there's a character called Herring. which I found was a little bit weird. I've never seen a character called Herring in any film I've ever watched. It was like Chatton was reaching through time, saying, yeah, you know, use the moustache to satirise fascism. That's... I know he wasn't doing that. I'm not mental. But it was weird. But, you know, having seen that, I did realise I think we can reclaim this symbol. I don't think it is impossible to do it anymore. I think we can beat the fascists at their own game with this. Why don't we take this symbol that, yeah, is associated with Hitler now, it's a symbol of fascism, why don't we turn it, make it a symbol of anti-fascism, of pro-democracy? Because the brilliant thing about this moustache is that no one in the Western world has this except for me and maybe the bloke from Sparks. That is it. A fascist wouldn't have it for fear of looking like exactly what he is. So it's a blank sheet. We can start again. What I'm proposing, we could have a day for democracy. It's like a red nose day or a poppy day. But on that day, everyone has a toothbrush moustache. You fellas could grow one for the day. You ladies, you could carve it into your pubic hair. If you see a fascist coming, just give him a little flash. Go, that's what I think about you. And actually, that would encourage fascism. Only show it to people who are against fascism. Only show them what you've done. But just the day where we try and remember the importance of democracy, what people have given up for us, why not have it on Charlie Chaplin's birthday, April the 16th? Because this isn't the Hitler moustache. It's not my moustache. It's his moustache. He was the first person to have it. He was the first person to use it to satirise fascism, at least. It's not easy to change the meaning of a symbol, but it can be done. It's happened. Gay men took the skinhead and changed the meaning of that. Black men took the word nigger and changed the meaning of that. Now, funny men, funny women, let's take the Hitler moustache, turn it back to the Chaplin moustache and make it stand for democracy. You know, if just one man listens to this show and is inspired by what I've done and decides to grow a toothbrush moustache of his own, then this whole enterprise will have been an embarrassing failure. What if 100 men were to do it? What if 1,000 men would do it? What if 10,000 men and women went out on one day with this moustache and in doing so encouraged 10,000 people who didn't vote in the last European election to vote in the next European election? We could defeat the right wing, not on the battlefields of Spain, but in the primary schools of the United Kingdom. It's not yet fashionable, but it will be so later, and just because it is me who is wearing it. I just wanted to end by reading you this. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then, in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they lie. They do not fulfill that promise, they never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let's fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let's fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to the happiness of us all. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us unite. Those are the words of Charlie Chaplin. This is his moustache. Please take it back for him, for comedy and democracy. And thanks very much for listening to the show. Goodbye. Cheers.
You've been listening to Richard Herring's Objective, written by and starring Richard Herring with me, TV's Emma Kennedy. It was produced by Alison Vernon Smith.
And Richard Herring will be back at the same time next week, trying to reclaim the hoodie.